This morning, my wife said to me last night, she says, do you realize that there's going to be a storm tonight and tomorrow, and it's going to go on throughout the weekend? And I'm saying that nobody's going to be in church. And so what I did, I'm thinking, this is really strange. I mean, last week I spoke about the storm. Yeah, and here this week, the storm is right here. And I'm saying, I'm not going to let the storm stop me. So I went outside and I commanded the storm to be still in Jesus' name. And that's why I was looking through the window to see whether the storm is still there. I think it's calmed down now. Woo! So what we're going to do, the Lord said to me that today there's some chains that are going to be broken. This is what God said. And so I want you to, we're going to sing that song in a little while. Priscilla, I want you to lead it. What's that song? Break Every Chain. Because I want you to be open for what God is going to do and get ready for what God is going to do. Started last week. Some of us went through the storm and we are now over on the other side. And God, by His power, is going to release some people. I'm going to tell you today that your life will never be the same from today. If you allow God and His Holy Spirit to move in your life, chains are going to be broken. Chains of addiction are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. Healing will come in Jesus' name. Oppression will go in Jesus' name. As you get ready, God, by His Holy Spirit, will come and meet you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the team come and please help me with this.
There is power.
is broken in the name of Jesus. Demonic oppression, broken in the name of Jesus. Our minds are restored in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to try and be, not take too long today. My daughter said to me last week, she said, "Daddy, it was really good, but it was just too long." I won't tell you which one of my daughters it was. But last week I spoke about, let us go over to the other side. And that was part one of my message. This week I'm bringing you part two, let us go over to the other side. But there is another title that I've attached to it, entitled Max. Can you see that? You won't find Max in the Bible, but I've created him today.
Okay.
All right? So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. We're going to read from Mark chapter 5. And we're going to read some verses here. They went across, Mark chapter 5, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, where Jesus got out of the boat. A man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of Jesus. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And so the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Last week, as I said, we spoke about going over to the other side. And so what I want to do is, just so that we get the story, just to recap briefly on some of the things that I spoke about. And Jesus had told his disciples, he says, "Guys, we are going over to the other side." In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, We often hear Jesus, when you read the Gospels, you often hear Jesus say, let us go over to the other side. And there is always a reason when Jesus would say this. There are situations that he needed to deal with. There was kingdom business that Jesus had to sort out. Because, as you know, Jesus, this was what he was all about, kingdom business. Even at the age of 12, if you remember, when his mother was saying, you know, what are you doing? We could not find you. He said, I must be about my father's business. And surely, he was not talking about carpentry. There was a demon-possessed man that he wanted to meet on the other side. There was a woman with a blood issue that she had for 12 years that Jesus wanted to see on the other side. There was a girl that passed away dead, and Jesus wanted to bring her back to life again. So he had kingdom business that he needed to go the other side and do. And so when he said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side, he was going over to the other side for purpose. You know something? You have to be careful what you say sometimes, because you never know what unseen ears might be listening. Do you get that? We know that every time the kingdom of God is advancing, the kingdom of God is progressing, is moving forward, the enemy will always try and hinder the advancement of the kingdom of God. He will try. In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 12, it says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, this is the word of God, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. When I have come to tell somebody some force that might be listening today that the church of Jesus Christ needs to get up and retaliate. Yeah, it's time for us to become, yeah, radical Christians, to get our weapons in gear. Not some like some other religious groups that will use guns and knives and swords and all kinds of physical weapons. But we have a supernatural, more than one, supernatural weapons. Weapons of mass destruction that the world do not know. The weapon of prayer. Come on. The weapon of praise. Where is your praise? Out. The weapon of the word of God can pull down any enemy. Hallelujah. Any stronghold. Get ready. Our fight, you see, is not against people. I don't want you to worry about your friends or what somebody might have said to you. Your fight is not against them. Right. Your fight, the Bible says, is against principalities, against powers, come on, against wickedness in high places. And God has given us weapons of mass destruction to defeat our enemies. Ephesians 6:12. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We do not only wrestle against them. We do not only wrestle against them, but we overcome them. We overcome them. What's the point in just wrestling and just finishing? We need to destroy. We need to put to an end. We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says, and by the word Has anybody got a testimony in your mouth, in your heart? The Bible says you will overcome your enemy with the word of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. I testify every day about the goodness of God, and the enemy is defeated. You see, I believe it is time for the church, for Eden Christian Center, to take territory, to take back what has been stolen from us. And it has been stolen. It never belonged to him. But he has taken from us, robbed some of you. And today I come in the name of Jesus to say, devil, give me back what belongs to me. Give me back my joy. Give me back my health. Give me back my wealth. Give me back my prosperity. Give it to me back. We need to establish the kingdom of God. Let your kingdom come, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. We know that Jesus and his disciples set sail across this beautiful Galilean Sea. Calm, it was calm. And they were going over into the enemy's territory. They were moving from Capernaum into the Gadarenes, this 7-mile stretch of water. And then all of a sudden, they were obstructed by the enemy. The elements came against them in the form of a storm. Mighty winds, mighty waves, trying to destroy their advancement. But somebody on that boat, actually, who didn't realize what they were doing, they woke up Jesus. They woke up the word. Somebody shook the word. You know that you can sleep through a storm when the word is in within you.
That's right.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
But last night I slept through. I only heard it this morning. Word, get up. Word, get up. Jesus, who is the word, he got up and he spoke and he rebuked the winds and he rebuked the waves. And if you have any amount of spiritual insight, you will know that it was not the wind or the waves that were to blame, but it was the spirit, the evil spirits that were behind these elements. You see, Jesus does not come to rebuke natural elements. He only rebuked demons. Amen? So, they are over now. So they got through the storm and they are over on the other side. And all of a sudden, this crazy guy comes charging at Jesus. Chains dangling from him, from his feet and his hands. His body is covered in blood. Screaming at the top of his voice. He saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming towards him from a distance. There is something about the presence of God that draws people. Whatever their condition. You see, I would expect this man in his condition to be running away from Jesus, not running to him. I would expect him to be hiding in the tombs, in the darkness, not running towards the light. You see, the presence of God, listen to this, will cause you to do two things. The presence of God will either draw you close to himself, or his presence will cause you to run away. Yeah. Now, I wonder to my myself whether that's why so many spirit-filled churches are not as full as they ought to be. And in this instance, the presence of God drew this man. And so he ran to Jesus and he fell on his knees and he said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" It's interesting that the evil spirits knew who Jesus was. They had spiritual insight. Jesus didn't have to introduce himself. Yoo-hoo! Jesus here. Do you remember? Son of the Most High God. Do you remember me when you were in heaven? And a third of you were cast out. Do you remember? Because demons, you see, are fallen angels. A third of them were thrown out of heaven. And Jesus didn't have to introduce himself because they could feel his presence. They could feel his presence. They would have heard how he prayed. They would have seen him casting out demons. They would have seen him healing the sick and raising the dead. They would have heard him preaching. They knew him just like they know you. Just like they know when you are praying. Just like they know when or if they ought to be afraid of you or not. They know what you carry. One of the days I was, they called me actually, it was a conference, and they called me because there was a young lady that was manifesting. And just as I got there, the demon said to me that, remember that strange voice that I told you about last week? You know, that deep one. They add effects to it just to try and make you afraid. Yeah, they added a bit of reverb and presence. You know, they're very clever. And so I just, you know, I just learned this from the Word. I'm just doing what Jesus did, and I said, "What's your name?" And the response was, "Lucifer." I'm going to tell you. Can I make a confession today? I'm not afraid of them. I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid. But when she said Lucifer, like she did then, the little bits of hair that I had on my head actually stood up. Because I've never heard that one before. I've heard all kinds of names, but Lucifer, I've never heard before. Apart from what I've read. But we cast him out anyway. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the girl was free. Praise God. You know, they know who you are. When you look at in the book of Acts chapter 19 verse 11 to 20, it tells you about seven sons who were the sons of a high priest by the name of Sceva. And they saw what Paul was doing. And they wanted to do the same thing. And they tried to cast out demons, they said, in the name of the one who Paul preaches. Ah, you see, you cannot do it in somebody else's power. You've got to do it. You've got to know what you were doing and know who is with you. Not in the name who Paul preaches. Ah, but I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus because I know Jesus. I carry his power. I carry his anointing. So I'm coming in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says they tried to do this in the name who Paul preaches. And the demon's response was, you all know this. Paul we know. And Jesus we know. But Lord, who are you? You see, the demons, they acknowledge Jesus as Lord. They know who he is. You see, when the world does not know or even acknowledges Jesus, the demons do. Sometimes they have more reverence than people do. I know you might not want to hear this, but that's the case. They know who is in charge. They know who is God more than some people do, even within the church. They know the power that Jesus carries and the anointing that he carries, that even at the mention of his name, the Bible says that they run. But here, they are running to Jesus rather than running away from him. Hallelujah. And so Jesus asked the man, what is your name? I just want to focus on this man for a little while. Because the Bible actually doesn't tell us too much about him. But we do know that he has a mother and a father. I don't know whether they were alive at that time, but surely for him to come into this world, he must have had parents. But really, we don't know his name. He may have had friends. Probably not at that moment. He probably didn't have any friends at that time, but I'm sure at some point in his life he would have had friends. And it's interesting that Jesus would ask this man his name. Because surely, would you not agree with me, that Jesus would have known his name? Even though they may not have ever met before. Because Jesus knows everything. He sees everything. He hears everything because he is God. Could it be that when, I was picturing this, it doesn't say in the Bible, but you know the Bible tells us oftentimes that Jesus would withdraw himself and he would go into the mountains to pray, into the hills to pray. Do you recall that in the Bible? Oftentimes. He did that in the wilderness as well. He would go up into the hills and he would pray. And the Bible is saying that this man, he's in the hills and he's crying out in the hills and in the tombs. Now if you look at this, there is a stretch of water that is 7 miles long. And I, with my imagination, could see Jesus walking up the hill in prayer while this man on the other side is crying out and cutting himself. Can anybody imagine that? So you can hear his cry traveling, because sound actually travels really well across water. And he's shouting at the top of his voice. I don't know what he was shouting, but probably he was saying, I cannot take this anymore. Somebody help me. Be that, and Jesus is on the other side praying. Do you know something? Every time you cry out, and every time you call upon Jesus, he will hear you. Every time. This man, can we call him Max? That works well. Crying out night and day in the hills, in the tombs, cutting himself. Could it be that while Jesus was interceding, that this cry of the demon-possessed man traveled over the lakes, interrupted Jesus' prayer? Whenever you cry, God will hear you. And he has to do something about it. The Bible says that this poor man cried and the Lord heard. Jesus will hear your every cry. You could have been crying for 10 years. I come to tell somebody with this prophetic word that today God hears your cry and he's going to do something about it. Something about it. I hear the Lord saying, you see, when the children of Israel for 400 years, the Bible says that they were crying out to God. And God says, enough is enough. I'm going to do something about my people. There is no way as children of God, children of the Most High God, could be calling out to him for years and God does not do something about it. He will hear your every cry. The blind man, Bartimaeus, the Bible says that he cried at the top of his voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. What he was saying is, Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. Help me. I am blind. I cannot see. The 10 lepers cried outside the city wall, Jesus, have mercy upon us. Sometimes God will say, enough is enough. Let me do something about your situation. I guess Jesus looked at this man, heard this man, and he said, enough is enough. We are going over. We're going to do something about your situation. So why would Max be in this position? The Bible doesn't tell us. Well, why is he the way that he is? Running around the tombs, naked, crying out, cutting himself, breaking chains. Surely Max was not born that way. Max must have opened the door and let the enemy in, because he cannot enter unless you give him permission. The Bible doesn't tell us. But poor Max made a terrible mistake. Like many of us. I want us to be real in church. He may have made a mistake. Maybe Max mistakenly opened the door and invited the enemy in, like many of us. Maybe Max knew the truth, but failed to do it. Many of us could have been like Max, but for the grace of God. And many of us would probably look at Max and say, whew, I'm glad I'm not like him. I mean, I have a few storms in my life, but I'm not that bad. I would never go around the tombs and cry out and cut myself. I would never do that. Thank God I'm not possessed. Many of us would turn our noses up against people like Max, but not Jesus. He will walk on water to get to you. He will give his life for you. He will go to the cross even for you. He will sail through any storm to get to where you are. That's my God. You You know, my son has a song out entitled Deep End. And in it, he has a line which says that we all have demons. And for a while, I wrestled with that. I'm saying to myself, how could he have written something like this? And he's brought up in the church. Where is he coming from? Because surely I haven't got demons. And I was upset for a while. I'm saying this is the pastor's son who knows the word, brought up in the word, and the word is in him. How could he have written a line like this? But when I began to look at it, and I'm reading this passage, and I'm thinking, oh, there is some truth in his theology. Because I know that we as believers, Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, cannot be possessed. But I've come to tell somebody that you can't be oppressed. You might not be cutting yourselves with stones or knives, but you're cutting yourself with torment. You might not be living among the tombs, but there are dead areas in your life.
You are sick. How can you be healed? The problem that
For some of us, it's just too embarrassing, so we don't want to say. Even though some of them are demonic. You will never know forgiveness until you're able to forgive. If you're sleeping around and you don't know or believe that there is anything wrong with it, you will never get delivered. If you're enjoying lying and cheating and you don't see anything wrong with it, that it is sin, how can you forget? How can you get forgiven? If you spend all your time gossiping and you don't realize that gossiping is a sin, how can you be saved? Many people do not receive their deliverance simply because they don't want to be delivered. This man, Max, wanted to be delivered. He saw Jesus afar off and he ran to him on bended knees. Jesus, what do you want with me? I'm not blind. I just can't see. What did he say? I'm not deaf. I just can't hear. When Jesus asked, "What is your name?" Max's response was, "We, plural, are legion." A legion is a section of the Roman army of 6,000 foot soldiers. That's what a legion is. Could it be that there were 6,000 things that was wrong with Max? 6,000? That's a lot. And we know that Jesus cast the legion out, 6,000 of them, and clothed Max in his right mind. Can I have the keyboard player? I'm going to stop right there. Right there. Because Jesus said, the same chains that was broken off Max can be broken off you. The same burden that's been weighing you down for years, God is going to take from you. The same chains of addiction that you've been struggling with, and nobody's going to say anything about it, just between you and God. Those things that you're struggling with, God says today he's come to break the chains. He's come to give you a new name. He says from today your name shall never be Legion, but your name shall be Set Free, Son of the Living God. Set Free, Daughter of the Living God. Today God has come in his power and you can see him afar off, and he says today, if you will bow at the knee and acknowledge me as Lord and Savior, he says you can know his power. You can know his power. You can experience his presence like never before. When Jesus approached Max, the demons bowed before him. I'm not saying that you have demons or everything is demons in your life, but what I'm saying is there are situations in our lives that we should be carrying. Some of us are living in the tombs and still coming to church, and it's fine. But God wants to stop all of that. He wants to take you out of dead places and bring you into the living. He wants to heal your body, heal your mind, set you completely free. Eden is a place where there is freedom in Christ Jesus. This is what the garden has been created for, and we need to get back to that place. You will only begin to grow and thrive once you're rooted in the garden of Eden. And God wants to do that today. Please stand to There is no drama here. But God told me, he said he's going to break some chains. He's going to break the chains, not me. God says, whatever you need broken. Maybe you are repressed. Maybe you're unable to sleep and have the peace of God. Have the peace of God in your life. Jesus says he's come to give you peace. And your sleep will be sweet. Your body which is broken, he says he's come to heal you. He's come today to perform miracles in your life. Lives are going to be transformed by the power of the Spirit.